Brother Cody, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet all those on the live stream, and it's a blessing to be here. You know, as I, all that were here at the sacrament service know that God has blessed me and blesses each one of us, you know. And tonight, this morning when Sean, he called about 7:40, I see his name, and I thought, oh no, I think he's sick. Sure enough, he was sick. But God gave me that comfort and gave me some scriptures to say this morning, you know. And I had my two assistant pastors come to me and say, we can do it. You know, they have helped me through many, many things, and they are stepping up even more with my struggles that I'm having now. And I appreciate it. I appreciate both of them, but I might need them another time, you know. And I appreciate that, though. But Dan asked me what my title's going to be tonight, and my title is Believe. You know, it's December 1st, and, Christmas is 24 days away. And, you know, out in the world, you know, you see a lot of signs, a lot of different things. I worked at Macy's, and it was believe in the magic of Christmas. Believe, you know. And, you know, what the world thinks of believing Christmas and what we think and know when we say the word believe are, some are the same, some are different, you know. But I'm going to start with John 3:16 through 18. And we all know this very first verse, 16, we all know it. Jesus is speaking here, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know, and I know each one of us believes. You know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't believe in the power of God, and we didn't believe in the power of prayer, and that we can have that. You know, today we had remembered that covenant that we've made with our God, and each one of us that are baptized, we could reflect on that today as we partook of the sacrament, and how important that is, that we have that firm belief, and we have that firm love of God, and we have that strength that we get through prayer, talking to God, and we get the strength from each other and the love that each one has. You know, everybody here, I know we all love each other, and we all have that common ground that we believe in God. I'm going to turn to one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm actually today, I usually read the middle part of it, which is unbelieving, but it's Mosiah 2, and you're going to hear the whole chapter, but it's a great chapter, and it's on page 219 of the Book of Mormon. Okay, I'm going to start with the first verse, and it says, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made the end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass, after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy. And, you know, with this belief, you know, are we filled with joy, you know, when we seek our God? Having received a remission of their sins and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, my friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to the sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord. We must put our trust in the Lord. And should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Here it is. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. You know, when I say that verse there, and it says, you know the greatness of God, and we do. But isn't it hard when you say, and you know your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures? You know, you think of that and you think, without God, we are. But we have God. And so he makes it where, you know, we give the glory to him, but he gives us the heart. He gives us those things that help us through life, to obtain those things and to have that joy in our life. And that's what it is. You know, we're unworthy, but we must humble ourselves. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. You know, I usually read to there, but I'm going to continue reading. reading. You know, it's that time of year when we think of others, and we should think of others always. But Christmas time, we think of the needy. We help needy families. We help those. We look for more people. We look for more things we can do for people. And so it continues. It says, "And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and render to every man according to that which is due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another." And how do we teach them? But by the example we give, and where do we get that example? But from our God. You know, we learn from him, and we live our lives to be that example so that they will have that love, so that that they will see the love of God in the things we do, that they will want to have that same love to all those they come in contact with. And it says, "And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar put up his petition to you in vain, but turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery." And I know I've been guilty of it, and I know, you know, we see people on the streets, and sometimes the corner by my house, I see the same people week to week, you know, and you think, you know, it's easy to say, okay, they're putting this upon themselves, but we're not to do that. We're not to do that. We are to look to everybody in that love. We must, later on, it's going to say we must do it with understanding, with seeking God to know what to do. It says, "And you will not suffer that the beggar put up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and I will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, for gold, for silver, and for all riches which we have of every kind? And behold, even at this time, ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain?" And we all know that answer. "Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you. He hath caused that your hearts should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouths should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom you are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right, for whatever you ask that is right, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, oh, then, had ye ought to impart of your substance that ye have one to another." You know, and we, you know, God gives us what we ask. You know, God, you know, and we never think, oh, we're beggars. You know, do we think that we're beggars? We, though, are seeking God for blessings, seeking God for understanding, and He blesses us. And we need to do the same to others. We need to show that love of God. It says, and if you judge the man who putteth up his position to you for your substance, and he perish, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye have put up no petition, nor repenteth not of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto the man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those which are rich, as pertaining to the things of this world. And again I say unto you, unto the poor. You know, we say, you know, the rich that have the things that can give. He's now going to talk to the poor. And it says, and again, I say unto the poor, ye have not, and yet ye have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day. I mean, all you that deny the beggar, because you have not. I would that ye should say in your hearts that I give not because I have not. But if I had, I would give. Have that giving heart. Have that giving heart and that love. And now if ye say this in your hearts, you remain guiltless. Otherwise, you're condemned, and your condemnation is just. For you covet that which ye have not received. And now for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God. I would that you should impart your substance to the poor, every man according to that which hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see that all things are done in wisdom and order. For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he hath strength. And, you know, we need to seek God for those answers. You know, when we see somebody in need, seek God for that discernment and to know what to do. You know, what to do. And you know, we must always have that loving heart. But know what to do, and God is going to give us that answer if we seek Him to find out. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. And I would that you should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth from his neighbor should return the thing that he borroweth according as he doth agree, or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. You know, and that's something you think, something simple, borrowing something or whatever, but you never know in your what you are relaying to the person you borrowed it from, you know, and they get animosity. And they might get ill feelings so we must do what's right. Do what's right. People give to you, you can borrow, but give it back. You know, when it says it here, do those things that we live peaceably one with another. Or else, thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. And finally, I can not tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin. For there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of the Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. You know, and it's It's all there. I mean, that line here that says, keep the commandments of God. And that's so important, is that we follow God's commandments and we're going to do what's right. If we, life gets busy, life gets crazy. And we have work, we have many activities we need to do, but follow God's commandments. You know, have that closeness to God, have that close relationship with God that you can ask Him, that you know what the right thing is to do. And I think if we slow down a little and think and put God first, in our minds, we're going to do and choose those things that are right. So here it is. I'm talking there. We're talking about giving to others, those in need, showing that love that comes from God. And I always like to pick a song here. And if you can turn to 378. And in 378, it is loving each other. And just think of these words as I read them. Very important words that I know were inspired by our God. And it says, this is the motto we all would obey. We will all love one another. Happy we sing and are glad all the day when we can serve one another. Thus will we labor and thus will we play, trying to help one another, driving the sorrows of others away, bringing sweet peace to each other. Let us, like Jesus, be thoughtful and kind. And there it is, that we learn from Jesus. Jesus' example. Striving to please one another. Here as in heaven, we will be of one mind, everyone loving each other. And the chorus is, loving each other, how pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other, the Savior looks on us with joy. This is the perfect season. December 1st, we have this whole month. And then let's continue next year with the same. Have that zeal to show the love of God when we're out there. I'm going to read the next chapter. It's a short chapter in Mosiah. It's Mosiah 3. And I love Mosiah 2. And I read the last verse of Mosiah 3. I read verse 21 all the time, but I don't read the ones before it. And so it's only 21 verses. So chapter 3, it says, and now it came to pass, this is on page 223, says, and now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them desiring to know of his people, if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they had all cried with one voice, saying, yea, we believe all the words which ye have spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord God Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And that should be, we need to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of his Spirit, hath great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us, and hath brought us to the great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy. And we are willing to enter into the covenant with our God, to do his will and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, ye have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day, he has spiritually begotten you. For ye shall say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore, ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under his head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby you can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of our lives, your lives. And, you know, we partook of the sacrament today. We entered into that covenant. Could have been many, many years ago. It could have been just recently. But most have entered into that covenant, that we want to follow his commandments, that we want to do those things that are right, that I know when each one of us, when we come to that knowledge and are ready to be baptized, we have that zeal and we are ready to do everything we can that is right. And we're following those commandments, and we want to keep that effort. We need to keep that zeal in our minds. Let me see if I can find. And now, because the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you, for ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head thereby ye are made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all ye that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. You know, and I used to think, okay, I'm left-handed, Becky's left-handed, and, you know, in the Bible, I'm going to read a little later in Colossians, and it says the right hand of God, the right hand of God. And I'm always thinking, well, what's wrong with the left hand? You know, but after you read this, it's like the right hand of God is where we want to be, where it is right. And it touched my heart. Actually, today, it was like, okay, I got to move over to the right side. You know, and hopefully I've been on that right side. But I always thought of left hand, right hand. It has nothing to do with that. So, and now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon him the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore, he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that you should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out except it be through transgression. Therefore, take heed that you do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that you should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name of which he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? And again doth a man take and ask which belongeth to his neighbor, and keep him. I say unto you, nay, he will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flock, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you that even so shall it be among you, if ye know not the name by which you're called. And then verse 21, which I love this verse, it says, therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. You know, and that we need to live by that verse. We need to be steadfast and movable. We need to know what we believe. You know, we believe in God, but what do we believe? What are the beliefs of our church? What and where do we get it? We get it through the scriptures. I'm going to turn to John 15 now. And this is Jesus speaking. And I'm going to read 1 through 14 on chapter 15. And it's Jesus speaking. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And, you know, he's asking us, continue in his love. Live by his example. Show that love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, and question, do we want to be a friend of Jesus? I think so. I know we do. I know we do. And so there it is, plain and simple. We need to do what he asks us to do, follow his commandments, live our lives for the Lord. And I'm going to read now from Colossians 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 17. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And there it is. I always read that right hand there. And I know now from chapter 3 and digging into it today that we want to be on the right hand. You know, here I am, like I figure on the left hand of God, the right hand, as long as we're with him, was my thought, you know. And here it is. We want to be on the right hand of God. It says, set your affections on things above, not the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I think with people in the world, with me, with everyone, I think that idolatry, do we put something above God? Is something more important? And it shouldn't be, it can't be. God first, and then he will direct our path. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience, and the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created you, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do we give enough thanks? Do we thank him for all those many things, big and little things in our lives? You know, do we believe? Do we believe in God? And do we give him that glory? I have a poem here, and it's a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. And it says, you know, right here on 17, it said, giving thanks to him. And it says, thank you, God, for everything, is the title of this. It says, thank you, God, for everything, the big things and the small. For every good gift comes from God, the giver of them all. And all too often we accept, without any thanks or praise, the gifts of God sends as blessings each day in many ways. First, thank you for the little things that often come our way, the things we take for granted but don't mention when we pray. Then thank you for the miracles we are much too blind to see, and give us new awareness of our many gifts from thee, and help us to remember that the key to life and living is to make each prayer a prayer of thanks, and every day thanksgiving. You know, are we thankful? And I know we are. I know we're thankful. But tell God and tell others of his goodness. Be a testimony to God and to others of God's goodness in our lives. I'm going to read two verses just to leave us with here, and it's very back of the Book of Mormon, page 777, and it's Moroni 10, 29 and 30, and it says, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. So let's keep our focus in the right place. Let's believe in God when we're this holiday season. Remember the true meaning of Christmas. Remember, don't get wrapped up in all the carnal things, but remember to thank God every day for the blessings in our lives. And I thank you this night, and have a great week.